homosexuality natural and for another. So just slightly, illegal, unlawful, whatever you want to say, is a lawful situation or a situation that, when you say, when I say unlawful, or a lawful situation, I mean a person who has divorced their spouse in the past based on a scriptural right of fornication and got to be married. They have a right to be married. When they was created, God said, he needs to help me. I still say that God doesn't intend for anybody to live their life alone. A lot of people do. And there are, you know, a lot of people create their own mess. And some of them shouldn't be living alone. There's a lot of people as far as I'm worth living with. And I wouldn't put up with them under no circumstances. And there's probably men that wouldn't put up with me. But I still want to say that people who are in the church, I would never permit them the right to divorce and remarry. If there's a problem in the family, God is the problem solver. And there is no problem that God can't solve. It depends on the willingness of people to get along and understand and obey the word of God. But the rest of the world is not obligated, nor is he commanded to meet the criteria of God's word. He's just not. We've got two statements of people in this world and so forth. But there are people that can legally and spiritually be remarried. There's no question about it. Draw my hand on Texas marriage. I'd like to know what the criteria is for marriage. The laws of our land, which are meaningless. We've got as many people living common law as we have people who are living together legally. The laws of the land force people to do this. But I want to know what constitutes a marriage. The court says anybody who goes through a marriage ceremony and goes through their vows and everything, if their marriage is not consummated, it is not a marriage. I don't know if you're familiar with that situation of a bride. He comes out dumping. There has to be intimacy. There has to be intercourse, in other words. People have to become one through intimacy in order to even be recognized as intercourse. As in Christ, otherwise, the spouse, even one of them, can go to divorce and get on a problem. I don't care if it's been a year, 5 years, or whatever. Anybody can pull that under those kind of circumstances and situations. And things that the thing that you brought up. But Paul says, don't touch a woman. If you think you can take yourself and get married, well, he's not saying that everybody that's 13, 14, 15 years old is going to get the car and go to the garbage. That's the reason he says that. He doesn't want us to break the laws of God by getting into a situation like that. Don't touch a woman until you get married. Or you commit yourself to each other. Because you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. And I still say that marriage is an act. It's not a piece of paper. It's not an okay by the courts or the law of the land. The word of God says in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a word be established, and that's why that's in there. Not the only reason, but it's one of them. And the marriage, okay, how many ceremonies you have, who your minister is, or whoever, if it's not consummated, it is not considered to be a legal union. And I still say that the first person a person has sexual act with, they are the person that God holds them responsible. Because you're joined, Paul says, even if it's a harlot, you're joined unto them. That's what it says. And when you say you're joined unto them, it means you become a woman. Because that's the way you become a woman. It's not a piece of paper. It's not the okay for the government, for the course of the land. It's an act that you go through. And that's what constitutes a marriage, at least the way that I understand it. I was taught that you were not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. And if people who don't go according to the dictates of God's word, or their training, especially if they've been raised in churches or whatever thing, they have not the word of God. Paul didn't say, don't touch a woman. It's better than saying, don't touch a woman. what he is saying is don't touch a woman until you've got sense enough. And then he says, the desire is strong enough to commit yourself to the devil. If there's laws and obligation and commitments that have to be made in order to enjoy those kinds of privileges, he's not saying don't touch a woman, or it's better for a man not to touch a woman. He is saying it's better for you to understand what it is that you're getting into before you get in so deep that you're going to commit yourself by that act. That's the reason why, of course, in this society, you're not going to grovel until you get caught doing wrong. But when a boy is a girl pregnant, well, he gets something, well, you're going to marry her. Come to your business or come back. It ain't no matter. I mean, you're going to marry her because you have brought yourself by your own actions to a point where you ought to be committed, and so you're going to marry. And it's the right thing to be to marry. But the fact is, if he didn't get her pregnant, if he hasn't, created a situation, does that relieve him of his responsibility? No. In the sight of God, he's responsible for having a relationship that establishes a union in the sight of God. And that's all it matters. That's all it is. Now, if we plant on the basis of that, what we're talking about here tonight, that every minister, every deacon board or membership committee or whoever would have to investigate everybody's life and say, look, if you ever had intercourse with anybody else, well, a large majority of the people in this country and around the world have. And there are many marriages that you have to rule out. People would say to me the same thing I'm saying to people. That would be illogical. That would be unreal. But it was almost into our times as far as truth is concerned. That's the way it ought to be. As far as I think that any parent that could catch a boy in bed with their daughter and go through this exact, the first thing they're demanding their parents would make is, you're going to marry her. Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, you might think you don't have to answer me, let me just think about it. And because that constitutes an act that means you should obligate yourself to the situation that you have created. But I don't love her. You should have thought of that before. I don't love him. You should have thought of that before. Someday I'm a private being. In fact, say I'm a favor at all. Stay out of the places of privacy. If you can't control your revelation and desires and so forth, then don't allow yourself to get into situations like that. That's what it means to me. And I think that's what it means as far as the scripture is concerned. I don't think it has anything to do with homosexuality. I don't think it has anything to do with slavery. Of course, all of those things are wrong, and anybody gets right in heaven. I don't care what it is. You can go down the line and just take any one of these things that you want to talk about. The Word of God, the money we can incorporate all of them. Brokenness in the Son of God is wrong, but it's not as wrong as a doctrine. But he's got the same sense with it. And the person who is a doctrine is going to strike him. And of course, you don't get put off these kind of things. But to enter into this situation, like we're talking about, the reality of it is, remarried if it is not. How can we say that? You have to leave it up to the conscience of the people that are involved. I can't do it. The church can't do it. We can't do it. It's an impossibility. And if they're not willing to accept the word God in most people that I've ever talked to, on this basis or grounds, you don't have to talk about fornication or adultery. It's the reason why they got out of their first marriage. And many people are legitimately remarried. But I will say it again, because I want you to know that I'm not defending divorce. I'm not defending remarriage. Personally, I think you can live with the first marriage, you have no business in love. Because how are you going to determine that you didn't meet that kind of commitment? I don't know about any other scripture that you have brought up that you want me to give my personal attention to. I understand what you mean by logic. It don't have to be logic to me or to be right with God. I mean, so I'd like to say that this is the way I believe it, and I have believed it, my church once does, and so when I ask them, what do you believe? You don't know what they think. And I got that same thing, I think that's today. If somebody else in the church will, I don't care if the Bible does say, I don't believe it. So, you know, we have to be careful. Our logic don't mean anything whenever it comes to what God means. And that's all we have to abide by the Word of God. But I don't see where that every person who is married for the second time has to get out of the marriage and go back to their first marriage. And I don't know of any place in the Word of God that is demanding to make them think of that you're, you know, unlawfully married. Doesn't take you out of that marriage like the first. Now, God knows your work means, other than your unlawfully engaged in those situations, we're not God proud of. And so, everyone's going to get saved if you got out of that marriage. I mean, you can still be incorporated in some of those acts of Revelation 21:8. So, you know, it was a very good decision. But I'll be glad to address the. You know, I think on this area church in May, the 1st Corinthians 7:15, that's slavery and bondage and law, commitment, or being in a situation whereby you are engaged to in it, being the same thing. Just because you can say that it's a different word from the word that's used in being found in the situation of marriage. And if I'm being slain, this natural Christianity is all my fault, and I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ or of God. And slavery is what this is all about. And this slavery to sin is what living illegally in the Sabbath time is all about. So you can't separate those two terms. If beyond belief, and we're not talking about, somebody that just walks away from the marriage, we're talking about an unbeliever. It separates himself from the believer. Paul says you're not in bondage to the law. What is the law? You're bound by your actions. And, that's the way that I see that. That's the way that I believe. Thank you for your time.